Six Nations. Two Kiwis. It's the 6 at 6 podcast with Pat Courtney and Brent Pope from Radio Nova and Nova.ie. Brought to you by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid. Honda.ie.
Here we are again, Brent Pope.
Here we are again.
The man who can, and I want to try this because I want to do an experiment with this. The man who can be found, I believe, just by writing Brent Pope, New Zealand, on an envelope.
From New Zealand, yeah.
And it gets to you here in Dublin.
Yes, that's been all the sort of talk the last couple of days on social media with A.B. Huberman and Brian O'Driscoll. They got a letter addressed to them saying, Brian O'Driscoll, A.B. Huberman, Southside, Dublin. And there were a lot of other people coming back and things, but I remember a couple of years ago getting a card, and it was Brent Pope from New Zealand. So it obviously went to the post office. To go to New Zealand, they turned around it and said that. But at the same time, I told a great story for the rugby people out there. The great Zinzan Brook arrived over years ago to come and see me after an All Black tour, and he got off the airport and he didn't have a clue where I was. So he called into a shop in, I think in, wasn't in Stillorgan, where was it? Sundrive. So he called in there because he knew the rugby club where I played, St. Mary's, or somewhere around that. And he called into a grocer or something. He said, do you happen to know a Kiwi guy named Brent Pope? And the guy said, no, but he said, the butcher's next door, the guy does there. So he went in there and he arrived at, I was then staying at my girlfriend's place. He arrived at the girlfriend's place and got out of the back of a frozen food van. This all black great with his gear bag over it. I said, how did you find me? He said, this guy took me to that guy, to this guy. I was at 7 degrees of separation. So,
No, man. In this country, there's 2 degrees of separation if you're really lucky.
Isn't that a fantastic story?
Isn't that a great story?
I noticed here, when I got in here, there's a glass of water and a banana. Now, is that for me?
Yes, that's for you.
Oh, you're very
kind. It's a bit like Sophie Levi for Santi, isn't it?
A banana. What are you trying to tell me? A gorilla in the house.
It's all I had today. I didn't have oranges or anything, so I just brought you a banana.
No,
don't
you're
complain.
Very good like that. You look after my health, but no, I appreciate it.
It's the 6 at 6 podcast with Pat Courtney and Brent Pope from Radio Nova and Nova.ie.
Did you know, by the way, Italian superstitions ahead of the Italy game this weekend, what they might be avoiding before the match? In Italy, 13 is considered a lucky number. Did you know that? Unlike the rest of us. And 17 is seen as a very unlucky number. In fact, sometimes they leave it out on planes, hotel floors, and even sports teams. I can never remember. You know in rugby when we get the substitutions?
Yeah.
Like, the numbers on the back of the substitution, they're always the same. They mean something. Like, if a lock is replaced, he always has the replacement lock always has the same number. Who gets replaced in the 17?
Not necessarily.
Oh, really?
No, they're not position specific. So once they've named the tenor.
Well, I was told that by a guy in the central North Island of New Zealand.
No, usually it starts off, the numbering would be, you know, like the forward. So after the 15, you might have the front row, might be 16, 17, 18 or whatever. But different teams treat it differently, you know, just because you're number 21 or something doesn't necessarily mean that you're covering out half or second row or whatever. It's just, usually was a division between backs and forwards. It was always division. Backs just used to sit around at training and eat chocolate biscuits and get close to the heaters. And forwards were all doing the hard work. But there was always that division between,
whatever.
You know. You wouldn't have, for instance, put it this way, simply, you wouldn't have an 18 that would be a prop and then 19 that would be a winger, then a 20 that would be a back row. Then, so there is some organisation.
So do you think then that the Italians, they do play players in 17, in the number 17 jersey?
The same way Ireland play players in 13. I mean, Brian just called the 13.
I know.
Hardly unlucky for him.
No, it was very lucky for the rest of us.
Yeah,
well,
unlucky for the rest of the world.
Yeah, but, that's true. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I just wondered.
But there used to be a guy.
You'd have to be slightly concerned, though, if you had the 17, because the Italians are way more, they're really superstitious.
There was a guy who used to play for Ireland years ago and played for the Lions named Rodney O'Donnell up at St. Mary's Rugby Club. And he's so superstitious, when even when he was coaching, he couldn't step on the lines. You'd see him walking up and down the pitch and stepping over the lines. But anyway, he was on a tour in South Africa, and it was Friday the 13th, and he wouldn't come out of his room.
No.
And they threw a black cat in.
Oh, no!
Threw a black cat into his room on Friday the 13th, waiting for the howls or whatever like that. He come running out. But,
Dr. Dave, PhD, was on the phone earlier on.
Yeah, well, I suppose, Pat, like a lot of people, like probably everyone else, looking forward to seeing, hopefully, a bit of creative attacking play from Ireland. But against Italy, you're going to, as I say, hiding to nothing, because do you show what you've got and put up a big score, or do you, you know, to experiment with lineups? I'd love to see Joey Carvery start and finish Six Nations match. I mean, like, I massively love the guy. You know, Munster are blessed to have him. Keep one eye on him when he's playing again. It's not so much what he does creatively. His tackling, he's one of the best tacklers on the team. Like, he nails fellas in the kind of textbook fashion. And he's just got something about him. I'm not really sure what to expect, but I think it's a banker victory against a weaker Italy side. It's just how much good things we see from Ireland this time out. Viva Gucci!
Yeah, look, he makes a good point, Dr. Dave, or whatever. The thing about it is, what I'm finding quite hard to believe, I mean, I know the media, when I talk about the media, the rugby media that are going to the trainings or going to the press camps and that or whatever, they seem to be indicating that Joe Schmidt is going to field as strong a side as he can, and that means the likes of Johnny Sexton, Connor Murray, Henshaw, these kind of guys playing. I don't get it, Pat. I'd have to say I don't get it. I think in a World Cup year, I think Dave is right. I think anybody else ringing in would be right. You know, when does Joe Schmidt get a good look at these players if it's not this weekend coming? Like, I know he's got those games, those warm-up games leading the World Cup after the Six Nations, and you'd have to say that I think that the Six Nations is gone, because I don't think that even if Wales beat England...
The mathematics the you point, came up with yeah. last week was so complicated.
No, it was complicated in the sense that
it's impossible.
It's just about impossible. England would have to possibly lose twice. I could see Wales. Well, I can't, but there's a possibility that Wales could beat England, and then, of course, Ireland could beat Wales, so they could all be left on one loss, but then it would be England's points for against difference and their bonus for. I don't want to get into that, but I thought that this is one of the last opportunities that Joe Schmidt will get to see his players that are putting their hands up to be selected. And there's a few positions where that comes into play. I mean, look at front row, for instance, Jack McGrath, who's probably fallen behind Dave Kilcoyne now in the pecking order to go to the World Cup. You've got Quinn Roo, you've got second row, you've got Tyge Byrne coming back. They'll all play a part, but I would like to see Joe Schmidt do a Warren Gatland really, and play those players like Joey Carberry in that for a whole match, and say, look, okay, we've had a good look at you. We know you can handle international rugby at that level. You performed, we still won. Rather than select another side, Johnny Sexton shouldn't have even travelled, as far as I'm concerned.
Really? That extreme?
Well, wrap him in cotton wool. He's vital to Ireland's chances at the World Cup. He gets targeted and knocked around in matches.
In any case.
Give him a few weeks. In any case, he'll still have the Heineken Cup Leinster run to go on, and Pro 12 and the Pro 14 games, and also the, you know, the off-season games are friendly. So he'll have a lot of rugby before the World Cup anyway. Why risk in a situation like this?
I would love to see Joey Carberry play a full game of football. You know,
and other players too, that, you know, Reece Ruddock and these players that are on the fringe, give them a full game. Because coming on in matches, you know, it's hard to get into the flow of the game. Sometimes it's a bit disjointed when you come on. Sometimes you can't run the game, run the cutter, as they say, from the start of the game. So it's very difficult to get that cohesion when you're coming onto the field. So, yeah. I'm in agreement.
It's the 6 at 6 podcast with Pat Courtney and Brent Pope from Radio Nova and Nova.ie. Oh.
And David Bowie's blue jean because of Liatsuri.
I met David Bowie about 6 years ago.
You did not? Did you really?
Absolutely.
I spent
a bit of time with him.
Long time.
Because
Where were you?
I was in Chicago, and I love outsider art. This is the serious stuff now. You know, art from marginalised areas of society. And I knew a gallery owner over there, and I went to call into him on a Sunday, and there was a notice up saying closed for private viewing. But I knew the woman was working. I said, look, I'm all the way over here from Ireland, from Dublin. And she said, look, she's come in, but she said, we have a well-known person there, so just kind of don't disturb him. So it was David Bowie, and he was in there. And we got talking about his collection of outsider art. He's a huge collector of that kind of art, raw art, brute art, whatever way you want to call it. So, you know, we were looking at his work and everything like that. He was thoroughly charming. I was starstruck.
Yeah, isn't he?
I didn't know what to say, you know, but I mean,
really?
he was very charming, and he kind of, you know, he didn't even take it that I kind of knew who he was. He just said, oh, do you like the art as well? And we got talking about it, and he said, oh, no, I collect this guy, Brent, and calling me Brent. Yeah, what a buzz.
Yeah, it is a buzz.
For someone to call you that by that, and it's just little things like that that you meet these celebrities. Little things like calling you by your first name after you've been introduced really made you feel very. It made you feel humble, as well as being kind of. You know, I just like those little touches.
He's very engaging.
Yes,
isn't
very
he?
Engaging.
Like you're the complete focus of his attention.
Well, what I was looking for is because it was always reputed to have two different coloured eyes.
He has.
I don't think he has.
Yes,
I think one's
seen
a bigger
further
pupil.
Than you and I. One is a dilated pupil, but they were slightly different colours.
I didn't want to ask him about that, but that was always the thing, and I kind of was fixated. I probably was. He's probably saying, "Who's this weirdo looking at me? I'd have to say he was one of the nicest kind of celebrities that I've met like that. You know?
I totally agree with you. Yeah. Totally agree with you. Alex from the Punters Pundits panel was on earlier on, and I was just saying to Alex that last week I didn't know what to do with myself. It was like sound check with no gig because there wasn't any rugby.
Yeah, perfect. Look, I think obviously as we were saying, you miss it when it's not there, but it's great to have it back this weekend. I think unfortunately for us, the Ireland game definitely isn't the game of the weekend. I wonder what Brent thinks of this, but I'm starting to think that Italy in this competition are just becoming a bit of a joke. It's a bit of a waste of time. You know, I think as every team's getting better, even seeing with Scotland, they're progressively getting worse every year. You'd love to see something with maybe a relegation fight with Georgia. Is there a chance we can get South Africa in there or something? It's something that's kind of starting to annoy me in terms of selection this weekend as well. I think it's interesting to see that Joe Schmidt's going with a full-strength team, is what I'm hearing anyway. It looks like he's going to start sexing over Carberry. I don't understand that. I think, look, we need to get Carberry as much game time as possible. So since the last time Munster lost to Cast, and I think he got a lot of stick and he missed a lot of kicks, he's actually gone on to kick 22 consecutive place kicks. I think if you look at it last week, I think he threw that intercept, or 2 weeks ago even, and then he went on to be one of the best players on the pitch. I thought he was brilliant. And just in terms of resilience, I think that's phenomenal for somebody his age. And why not just give him the go? We know what Sexton can do. And even still, look, there's no chat of Jack Cardy being in there. Why isn't Ross Byrne in the squad instead of Jack Cardy as well? Ty Byrne probably has to be in the squad this week. It looks like Murray's back in. I think there's a lot of snowball coming from the rooks, but hopefully Conor Murray can get it back. Just one final thing I'll go for there. I think the match of the weekend is definitely Wales and England. I read a thing in the paper where Johnny May was saying that he's the best player in the world at the moment. Something for all Irish fans, here's a little stat. Wales have beaten England in the following years: 1949, 1959, 1969, 1979, 1989, 1999, 2009, and hopefully 2019, and Ireland will get back to the Six Nations.
That's a good one.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good one.
They're brilliant stats.
Isn't that amazing?
He's brilliant. I like Alex Winkin. Thanks for calling in, Alex, because you've always got... you got some really informative things to say. And again, we go back to the conversation I've just had. So it backs up what I was just talking about with Dr. Dave, that, you know.
With the selection,
that,
yes.
Yes, yeah, that, yeah. That we're finding it hard to understand what can be gained by throwing out a fully strength, you know, Irish side against Italy. And we talk about where Italian rugby is at in a few minutes. But, I mean, I think those stats are great. I mean, obviously, I don't see it happening, unfortunately. Alex, stats are not superstition-wise. I think, you know, I'd hate to say it, even though Johnny May regards himself as the best rugby player in the world at the moment, according
Jesus.
To Johnny.
Yeah,
you know,
what?
Autobiography, greatest people that have ever met me. But, but England, look, England are playing some seriously good ball at the moment. And, you know, Wales... They picked a team to try to move them around the paddock, and I think it's the way to play it. England's power game, you know, you'd have to say if a World Cup was being played tomorrow, I'd hate to admit it, but, you know, England would have to go in favourites the way they're playing at the moment, and that's such a turnaround from a year ago. Look how teams can suddenly go on the ascendancy in that now, and people are ringing, you know, ex-All Black friends, and they're ringing me regularly and saying, oh, you know, we didn't worry about England last year. Now, you know, we're seriously worried about them because they have this power game of these big players that are all performing. They could overpower, though. They could, when I say that in a joke, they could overpower in the sense that Eddie Jones has a tendency to go with this power game and start moving guys in with Tuilagi. He's got a nice mix now between players like Slade and Noel and even Johnny May. He's got a nice mix of speed and power. I'd hate to see that change because it would affect the way they play the game. Well, maybe I would like to see it change.
Yeah, I was going to say, personally.
But I don't see why. I don't see England not getting a Grand Slam this year, I'd have to say. I don't see it.
All right.
you know.
Yeah, all right.
I know, that's going to bring everybody down. Talk about the Billy Joel song. That's worse.
Will you stop? Well, there's that rarest of animals, the Italian rock band. It's something they really... Italian people, I'm sorry, my Italian friends, but... You know, it just doesn't seem to happen. But I found quite a good one.
Who
it's called Lacuna Coil, I think.
Oh, have you not heard of them?
Oh, Brent.
It's the 6 at 6 podcast with Pat Courtney and Brent Pope from Radio Nova and Nova.ie.
Hey, Brent Pope, it's a 6 at 6. Thank you to the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid. Go to Honda.ie. That's not bad, Brent.
No, it's not bad. I like that. You Italians, you can be proud of your rock band. It had a kind of touch of sort of Metallica about it for some reason. It was quite a bit.
And maybe I like Evanescence. Do you know Evanescence?
Exactly.
I do. Yeah. Like,
what's that big hit they had, that song?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. I just had albums.
Yes. No, exactly.
Lacuna Coil is what it's called, but I don't know what the song's called.
Maybe that's the song. Lacuna Coil.
No, that's the name of the band. I know that much.
Funny name.
It is a bit.
I didn't look it. Italian. I don't know what it stands for.
I didn't look it up.
Anyway, good choice. Better than Billy Joel. Sorry, Billy.
Will you stop with the Billy Joel digs? Jesus. 4104100 gets you straight through. Hello, Nova.
Hi, Pat. It's Laura.
Hello, Laura, my Northside emissary.
Hello, Laura. I feel I know you as well.
Oh, well, you see, we actually have met when you were doing a Heineken Cup thing. Now, I just wanted to tell Brent, I have an even better one than his friend coming over to Ireland. I went to Cayman once, and my friend forgot to pick me up at the airport. And one of the cleaners spotted me and asked me, was I okay? And I explained, and went, hold on, I think I know him. And radioed his boss, who then radioed my friend's boss. And then my friend went, oh, shit. I better go collect her. He was at the rugby sevens and had forgotten to collect me.
Are you serious?
Yeah. The cleaner actually knew exactly who he was. He was infamous on the island.
And he forgot to collect you.
He completely forgot to collect me. You don't even need to be famous for it to happen, Chip, because if you're infamous,
work anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good to hear from you, Laura.
Over and under.
Thanks, Laura.
It's a blue theme with the music this afternoon as well, this evening, because, and I have another one coming up shortly, but it just sums up what we need to hear this weekend. I agreed with what Alex said before, Brent, when he was talking about how it's a thing that's bothered me for ages, and I've been saying, and I was so glad he picked Georgia as the other team.
Yeah.
When you get to this level, the question always crops up, why is Italy in it? Why are teams like Georgia in big competitions as well? Because they're not good enough. Somebody always gets hurt playing them. They're not good enough. They take out other players that we really need for the important matches, and they never get anywhere, and it's just a waste of time.
Try telling it to our Georgian friends.
I wouldn't. They're bigger than you.
Look, here's the rough shot of it. Conor O'Shea is right. I know Conor well, working with him for 10 or 15 years in RT. Conor O'Shea is right. While they are improving, other teams are improving more, because there's no doubt that they've gone in and they've made huge improvements, even in the domestic game with Zebre and Benetton and these teams being competitive. The problem is they don't have the finances, they don't have the player numbers, they don't have the domestic structure in place for them to carry on. Yes, they can pull off the odd good game, but you're right. That's become further and further away now each year. The perennial wooden spooners, most years, it's usually played out between them and Scotland. I think, look, it's not saying anything about Italian rugby, because you need an extra team in there somewhere along the line for the Six Nations to work. But I think there should really be thoughts about a promotion relegation. I think teams that can prove, as Italy did years ago, can prove that they should have a shot in the Six Nations, then yeah, there should be some way for them to go in. I think if it's a closed door, then it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Like, say, for instance, if Georgia played Italy in a match and Georgia were to win comfortably, then they would justifiably be able to say, well, look, we should be in the Six Nations. We should be able to replace Italy at that stage. The fear would be that as soon as you have that year of relegation or promotion, it could be a team like Scotland, or it could be another team that finishes last and has to go out.
Because they just had a relegation. Bad day at the office.
Look, I think, you know, look, I feel sorry for Conor O'Shea. Italy haven't really they've not really achieved in the last couple of years. They've flatlined, as I said. They're losing players this weekend. I had thought they might have been in for a bit of a chance if Ireland had to put out a weakened team, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the way.
No.
That's an element of respect from Joe Schmidt in some ways to the Italian side, that he obviously fears them a bit. Again, I don't want to keep going back to it, but I'm yet to understand. I wish somebody could tell me the reasons why they're not starting some of these other guys.
Lodding a few people.
I don't understand it. I just don't see any justification in playing a full strength side. That's probably why I'm not the selector.
Poppy for coach.
Exactly. Put me up for coach. I wasn't a bad coach in my time.
I'd say you were pretty good. But that's only because you're much bigger than I am.
Yeah, I wasn't as good as Johnny May, but.
Apparently not.
We love you, Johnny. We love you.
It's the 6 at 6 podcast with Pat Courtney and Brent Pope from Radio Nova and Nova.ie.
After the weekend's match against Italy, Donica was on the punters pundits panel, and he was saying that, like, every time he's been watching just lately, and he has a point, I think. You're not seeing the same kind of intensity in the Ireland team that we did, for instance, in Chicago that time, when from the anthems you could see the intensity. Are they holding something back, Brent?
I don't believe any team holds anything back at this level. I think that obviously they were so geared up for that All Black match because, you know, it was history in the making, everything like that. And when teams play the All Blacks, they always get the passion. I think he's got a point. Doug has a point in that. I think people that were at the English match didn't quite see that same kind of passion. But then Ireland didn't really get into the game. England scored after about 3 or 4 minutes, so that kind of passion deflated a bit. You were never going to get the same sort of passion against Scotland. I think you could see it again reappear against Wales in the last match if it comes down to, you know, that Ireland are unbeaten then, apart from England and Wales remain unbeaten, because Ireland could be going over there to take a grand slam off Wales, conceivably, if Wales win this weekend. But no, look, I think that, you know, we've just been a bit shell-shocked, and that passion will come back, you know, that passion will come back. Sometimes if your mind can't stop you getting... That's why I didn't want Ireland going to the World Cup at the end of that. I didn't want them go to the World Cup so cock-a-hoop and so confident after winning another Grand Slam and that, because I think they would have gone into World Cup maybe there with this expectation and this weight of favouritism. I think the Irish are better hungry in sports. They're better off being slight underdogs and saying, look, OK, we're not expected to win this. We're going to go out. That's where they generate a lot of their passion from. Those games against the All Blacks, even though they've beaten them, they would have thought, OK, the All Blacks are favourite. We're going to go out and show them. And that's where you get the adrenaline from, taking it out against a team that you think are better than you are. They probably didn't feel that against England. You know, whether you like it or not, Ireland were the favourites for that match at home near Viva. Run of England, and you know, yeah, they probably didn't have quite the same passion, but that's there. Passion is always just hidden under that jersey somewhere, and it'll be back. Like you, Pat, it'll be back.
So will you. See you next week.
See you next week, man.
Six Nations, two Kiwis. This has been the 6 at 6 podcast with Brent Pope and Pat Courtney. Brought to you by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid. Honda.ie. Join us next week for another podcast, or catch the 6 at 6 live Thursday at 6 p.m. on Radio Nova and Nova.ie.